exactly like this with these people at this time and this thing. I'm convinced the Bible says what the Lord does, it's forever. And I'm convinced that the joinings that he has made that we are discovering in this life, they last beyond this life. And I think that in the far distant future, you and I may be seeing each other about the Lord's business. We won't be bored. No, no. And we may say, man, you remember that meeting? 2026? We got that. Because when the Lord gives you something and puts it in you, that's not the end, it's the beginning. That word will grow in you and develop in you and put roots down in you and produce fruit out of you from now on. It'll never die. It'll never stop. So these are indeed special times. You can be seated. Thanks, guys. Bless the Lord. If you'd look at Psalm 103 again, that's where we've been looking. Thank you so much to everybody that's prayed about the meeting, prayed for the utterance and ministry. You know, when you pray for your ministers, you're really praying for yourself. Because what comes through them affects you. Psalm 103, we've been looking at this, and for time's sake, I'll just begin at verse 7. The scripture said, Psalm 103, 7 said, he made known his ways to Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. And so this is distinguishing between knowing his ways and knowing what he did. More than one translation, instead of saying his acts, it says his will or his wills. And when you see the Lord do something, well, you did see his will. And in fact, Jesus, everything he said and did in his earthly ministry is a direct revelation of the unchanging will of God for everybody for all time.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Everything you see him do, everything you hear him say, the unchanging will of God for everybody. And he distinguishes, like we said, between the will or the doings or the acts and the ways. Now, we have mentioned earlier that in our camp, Word of Faith camp, we got the precious revelation some decades back that you're not supposed to pray every prayer with an "if it be thy will." And one of the main things, ones we heard and talked about, was healing. And that you don't pray, "Lord, heal them if you will," because that's not a faith prayer. And it's ignoring the scriptures that said he took our infirmities, he bore our sicknesses, he carried our pains.
Yeah.
Why? So we could stay sick? No. He's demonstrated his will and revealed his will. And so there were changes made, and a whole lot of people just completely removed that phrase from their vocabulary.
Yeah.
They thought, well, you don't use "if it be thy will" for anything. And that was a mistake. Because scripture plainly shows. We read four New Testament places last night where Paul said that, "I'm going to do this if the Lord will," or "if the Lord permits." So you got to take all the scripture together. And so we learned that we could be confident that something was the Lord's will, But that doesn't mean you automatically know the way he wants to do it. And even though you might have received and had great results 50 times over the past 10 years in that same area, you don't want to just assume, well, we'll do the same thing again this time. You should ask. Yeah. Everybody say ask.
Ask.
You should inquire of the Lord.
Yes.
Every day.
Yes.
About everything.
Yes.
Didn't the Bible say, trust in the Lord
yep.
with all your heart?
Yeah.
How many of your hearts different from your head?
Yes.
With your heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. He didn't say don't use your understanding. But that's not what you make your decision based on. You use your head. God gave you a head. Gave you a brain. Use it. Learn what you can. But when it's time to make a decision, you don't base it on info, statistics. Are y'all with me? You base it on this. Which is not reasoning. This is witness. And you'll have a witness that you don't understand many times. You look at the numbers, you look at the facts, you look at the statistics, you look at the whatever, and you think, well, it looks like that'd be the way to go. And you check your heart, and your heart goes, uh-uh, this way. So trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Why? Why, if you already know your way, do you need to acknowledge Him? Because we don't just do things our way. We want to know His way today about this. So, you must not just learn some principles of faith and then fill in the blanks about everything else. We must not separate exercising faith from being led by the Holy Spirit every day and night. Because even though you may know something's the will of God, you might know a part of something's the plan of God, you got to find out how to walk this thing out. How, who, where, when. There's a myriad of questions you need to get answers about. Don't just fill in the blanks. Don't just presume or assume. Ask.
Yes.
Are y'all with me?
Yes.
Look at your neighbor. Help him out and say, ask.
Ask.
Look with me, if you would, in let me read this to you. You go to the book of James. Chapter 4, and I'll just read these to you. They'll put them on the screen for us. Part of our text that we saw in Psalm 103 is connected to Psalm 95. Psalm 95 is quoted in the New Testament in Hebrews 3 and Hebrews 4. Let me read them to you, and I want you to hear how often this phrase is repeated, verbatim, and repeated, and repeated. And repeated. In Psalm 95, verse 6, and again, you can just watch the screen on these if you want to. He said, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord. Is that giving Him the place over you?
Amen.
Keep going, verse 7. For He is our God. And we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation. Notice that phrase. Today, if you will hear His voice. I want to emphasize that word if.
Yes.
Everybody say if.
If.
Now, if you look at Hebrews, the third chapter, Hebrews 3 and 7, he says this, he says, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost says, today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. Direct quote.
Yes, it is.
Again, if. Somebody say if. If you'll do what? If you'll hear His voice. Well, you'd have to be listening. And you're going to see more about this. You'd have to be open. To hearing.
Okay.
Because what did He immediately say? Don't harden your heart. What's the opposite of, or what is a hard heart? A hard heart is a closed heart. A tender heart, a heart that's not hard, is an open heart. You don't receive from God with a closed heart.
Amen.
Hmm?
Right.
Or you say it another way, you don't receive from God with a hard heart.
Right.
And the enemy, he will work on you and me for decades to get you or I hurt, holding a grudge, bitter, because over a period of time you get hard. And he knows better than most Christians that if you get a hardness of heart, you're in trouble. Because you're not open. And you won't hear. And this is one of the big reasons why we are commanded to forgive.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
It's not an option for a Christian, for a real child of God. And the Lord didn't just say that to make a rule. He knows the enemy's tricks and what he does, and he wants you and I to not miss one day of receiving with an open heart of faith. Don't want us to be robbed of one thing. So he said, today, if you will hear His voice. Everybody say if.
Yes.
Then he says, don't harden your heart. And he says, you know, in verse 10, he says, they always err in their heart. They have not known my ways. And we're talking tonight about one of His biggest ways. You want to hear about it? Are you excited?
Yeah.
I mean, this is way up at the top of the list of God's way. To know about Him, you have to know this. They do always err in their heart. Now, what did you just get through saying? Don't harden your heart. That is the error of heart that causes you to be closed and not open to His ways.
That's good.
And that generation did it over a period of 40 years.
Right.
And He said, they grieved me that whole length of time. Why? And it's not because it was so hard for them to understand His ways. It's because they did not want to know His ways. The Bible says the backslider in heart is filled with his own ways. So in the 15th verse, notice what it says. It's on the screen here. He said, while it is said, today, if you will hear His voice. Didn't he just get through saying that a couple of verses ago? Is that right?
Yes.
Today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. And then in Hebrews, the 4th chapter.
This is great.
Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 6, he said, it remains that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached didn't enter in because of unbelief. He limits a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, I mean, it ain't been 3 verses ago, right? Today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts. Why so much emphasis on this? Because of failure to heed this is why millions of people died young in the desert. And unbelief still robs people today. And it's not God's will. And it's not God's plan. But that two-letter word there, If you'll do what? If you will hear His voice. One of the most damaging doctrines in the church today, and it's been that way for centuries, is that God is in control.
Yep. That's good. Yes, sir.
Are y'all with me?
Yes, sir.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Some years ago, early days of the church in Branson, the Lord gave me a series called You Choose. You Choose. And this is what He said to me there. There'd been some debate on some show with some preachers that I saw, and they were debating about God controlling everything and Him being in control of everybody ultimately, even if you didn't understand it. And the Lord said this to me. He said, if God is controlling everything, there can be no if.
That's good. Yeah, that's right.
Yes. Very good.
There can be no if.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, that's right.
There's no if involved.
Yeah.
It's just going to be what God has ordained.
Yeah.
No matter what you or I do or don't do, if God's controlling everything, there is no if.
That's right.
And yet, if you take the time to read you some Bible, you will see this word. Is that right? Come in and go in. Have you read it in the covenants of God?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
If you listen to my commands, if you'll heed what I say, all these blessings will come on you.
Thank you.
But if you don't, all these curses, is that right?
Yeah.
Will come on you. And that's why He said, you know, at one point He said, I set before you life, death, blessing, cursing. I've already picked for you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Huh? No.
Yeah.
No. No. You choose. I'll tell you a funny story about it. If you're interested in that series, it's online. Faithlife.org, Word Supply. But we were sending out messages like we've done for years, and one of our partners got one of those messages. And I start off by what I just shared with you, and he was from a different denomination. It made him so mad, he went outside and threw the cassette away. Because that's a holy cow.
Yeah, it is.
Huh? Oh. And it usually says, spoken a certain way, God is in control. I had a preacher actually, almost attack me one time after I was preaching. He said, I want you to know, by God, when God gets ready for you to do something, you will do it. So he's almost cussing. What spirit is this? What spirit is this? I said, nope, he won't. Oh man, his face got red. Well, is it true or not? I set before you. Then he gives us a hint. Choose life. That you and your seed may live. Just avoid all this curse. Just avoid the whole deal. And side with me. But if is real. And so much of what you are seeing in this life and everybody's experience comes back to if. If you do this, your life's going to be like that. If you do this, you'll have a completely different life. And it's not God's choice. It wasn't that God predetermined it. It wasn't written in stone that that's what your life had to be before you were born. If you read the wisdom scriptures, It tells you there's certain things you can do that will shorten your days. There's certain things you can do that will add years to your life. The psalmist said, bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days. Well, does God want you bloody and deceitful?
No.
No. So that would be that person's choice. No. Choose God. Choose obedience. Choose faith and choose to do it His way. And you'll be blessed.
Yes, sir.
And next thing you know, you will have finished your course and run your race. And you'll be done. And there's so many things we can avoid. We're in a dark place with curse and crazy people, but there's so many things you don't have to have if we will follow His plan for our life. If you will hear His voice. Now go to James if you still have that. James. No, I'm not ready for James. Revelation 3. Thank y'all for believing with me. Revelation 3 and verse 20. Now, this is as latest, greatest New Testament as it gets. Right? At this point, you're running out of pages. So... And the Master said, this is the risen Savior. This is after everything. And He makes this affirmation. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And I'm coming in when I want to. Because I'm God. No. What's that next word? Come on, help me out.
If.
Doesn't this sound like what we just read? If you will hear.
Yes.
If you will hear His voice. That's the same phrase. If you hear My voice. And. If you. Open the door.
Yes.
I will come in.
Yeah. That's brilliant.
What if you don't? What if you don't? This is one of the greatest things you and I could ever understand about the ways of God. He will not force you against your will. You have to invite Him in. He certainly has the power to do anything.
Yes.
But He chooses not to. Are y'all with? We're talking about the ways of God. This is a big one. The Lord gave me these phrases actually decades ago. Fear forces. Love leads. Faith follows. Are y'all with me?
Yes, sir.
Fear forces. God has no fear. Y'all understand? None. There is no darkness in Him at all. He's not afraid somebody won't love Him or accept Him. Now you're laughing, but do you see what I'm saying? The reason people are pushy, demanding, forcing, they don't have faith.
That's right.
They're full of fear. And the thought is, if I don't make them do it, they won't do it. And then you get folks that say, well, for their own good. Now, little children should be made to mind. That's why they have parents.
Yes.
Or should have. But when it comes to adults, the moment you see somebody is resisting what you're talking to them about, and you get to the point where you feel like you're trying, you're pushing them, stop. Because now you're getting in the flesh. And this is where you'll see domestic violence, you'll see all kind of things where people, they get so intent and they're so upset about this and they're going to make you do this. That is devilish. Trying to make an adult do something against their will is devilish. You got to stop. Got to understand. Now, I realize people grew up in all kind of settings and all kind of homes and didn't have a decent home. And people learn, you know, to solve things with their fists and yelling and cussing and everything. And they think that's just being a strong individual. Is you just kind of come in, you take over, and you make people do what they should do. That is not God's ways.
That's right.
If you do that, you don't know Him.
Yeah. That's good.
I didn't say you wasn't saved.
Right.
But you don't know enough about Him. Fear forces. I'm not led by fear. I'm not led by fear. I've had people, you know, ask me about situations, you know, that we're dealing with, and it looked like somebody wasn't going to work or do the thing that they should do. And they said, well, what are you going to do if they don't do it? What'll happen? I said, well, then they won't do it. Yeah, but they have to do it. Actually, they don't. If God was going to make anybody do anything, He would make people receive Jesus. He would make them. And if He's not going to do that, He's not going to do it for all the lesser things. Fear forces. Love leads. That's why Jesus is called the Good Shepherd. Not the good cowboy. Nothing against cowboys.
Thanks God.
But why do I say that? Cowboys drive the herd. Come on, can you see this? They drive the herd. Not the shepherd He's talking about.
Right.
He even describes it. The shepherd leads the flock, goes out in front of the flock, and calls the sheep by name. And they follow Him. Nobody's making them. Nobody's pushing them. Nobody's driving them. That's how the Lord operates. And if you don't want to follow, then you won't follow. He will not make you. Even if it costs you everything. Because it's against His nature. He is love. And love won't force you to do something against your will. No matter how desperately you may need it, it just will not. Fear forces. Love leads. Faith. If you trust the love, you follow. Hallelujah. And if you're a smart little sheep, you'll be like the psalmist who says, my soul follows hard after thee. In other words, if Jesus stops, you're going to run into His back. Go, oh, sorry, Lord. Didn't know you were going to stop. Because you are right there. If you're a dumb little sheep, you straggle behind and do it your own way and become a snack for some predator. I don't know about you, but I'm not a dumb sheep. Come on, I'm not a dumb sheep. I never been through this dark world before. But my shepherd has. He's navigated this thing perfectly, overcome everything, tempted in all points, and He's providing us with an escort.
Praise God.
I ain't no fool.
Yeah.
the man with the flashlight. I'm staying with him. How many know somebody drop you off in the middle of the jungle in the Amazon at night? You ain't ever been there? You look around, there's eyes looking back at you through the jungle. And here's a man, he's got a big light. He's got a big gun.
Yep.
Come on, y'all with me?
Yes.
Tell me what you do. Come on, help me out. What do you do? You stay with him. You act like Velcro. You are stuck. Say it out loud. Lord, I'm stuck with you. I'm stuck to you.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. The Lord says, this is what I do. This is how I deal with people. I come to their life and I say, it's me. It's me, your Lord. I'd like to talk to you. I have great things for you. But it's up to the person on the other side of the door what happens next, or if nothing happens next. Is this true or not?
Yes.
Many don't believe that.
Right.
It's like that preacher yelling at me saying, you know, you will. God gets ready. You will do it. All you got to do is look around.
Amen.
People are not doing it. What God would want them to do. By the millions. But he said, if, somebody say if, there's that word, if any man, he's no respecter of persons, no matter where you're from, how you grew up, all of that, if you will hear my voice, respond to me, and do what?
Open
the door, then he's going to do something else. Somebody says, well, it's our move is first. No, he's already moved.
Yeah.
He came.
Yeah.
He paid the price.
Praise God.
He's done it all.
Yeah.
It's available. And he's even knocking on the door.
Yeah.
So now he made the first move.
Wow.
He first loved us.
Yes.
But then he is not going to force us. Go to Genesis, if you would, please. Let's see what we have time for tonight. Genesis, the 18th chapter. God's way is the love way. And the love way leads and waits to be invited. And we haven't understood that to the degree we need to. You people sometimes say to other folks, you know, maybe they're struggling with some kind of habit or they're struggling with some kind of, you know, improper actions and thing. And they'll say, well, just make me do it. Just make me do it. That's not the Lord's way. Yeah, but I want him to. People say, well, I wish I could just take my head off and Holy Ghost, just take me over. You mean possess you.
Yeah, that's right.
Now you're thinking about somebody else.
Come on, man. That's good.
It's only the devil who wants to control you, manipulate you, even against your will. Not God. He won't do it. Well, I want him to take me. He's not going to take you over. You have to yield yourself to him. He's not going to make you do something. And it's been this way throughout multiple generations. But you see a lot of children and a lot of teenagers and a lot of young people. They grew up with people chasing them, telling them 100 times to do something. And then, you know, waking them up to get ready to go to school throughout high school. And literally going and getting them by the hand, and you have to clean up your room, and telling them 100 times. And then they have the idea that that's just the way things work. And so they expect their teachers to do that. They expect their coaches to do that. And then if they get a job, they expect their employers to, you know, tell them 100 times. And that's not the way the world works. And then they expect God to follow them around, get them by the collar, make them go, make them do it. He won't do it.
That's right. No. That's right.
He doesn't do it. That's not his way. So we're hurting our children if we train them up that way. The Bible says, honor your father and mother so that it'll go well with you and you live long on the earth. There's supposed to be a transfer from your children. Is everybody listening awake?
Yes, sir. Yes.
Your children adapting to you. Not your world rotating around them. Why? Well, if you're doing everything rotating around their whim, that's not how God operates. That's not going to work. And people in the world, employers won't put up with that. You're training them for failure. God expects that we initiate some things towards Him. We come to Him. We present ourselves. We make ourselves available.
Yes.
Not Him chasing us. Oh, come on, y'all listening. Not Him chasing us, having to tell us 100 times. That's not His way. If we think that way, we actually will miss things.
That's really good.
We will miss special things of the Lord. Holy things that we should be a part of. Everybody say, present yourself.
Present yourself.
Yield yourself.
Yield yourself.
Make yourself available.
Make yourself available.
This is on a daily basis.
Amen.
We want this kind of thinking. God doesn't have to chase us.
That's right.
And He doesn't have to tell us 100 times.
Amen.
We get up in the morning and we say, here we are, Lord.
Amen.
Use us.
Yes.
I'm available. I don't have anything more important going on today than hearing your voice. Well, come on, y'all with me or not? Hearing your voice and doing what you want the way you want it done. But if you never present yourself and you're never focused that way, will the Lord take over? Push it off on you? Yell at you? You know, maybe your parents would yell at you. God won't.
Amen.
If you don't want to do it, that's a heart issue. I don't know if y'all are with me or not. Here's a big thing. God doesn't just want us to do things. He wants us to want to do them.
Amen.
It's only a willing heart that makes a thing acceptable in His sight. And if you don't want to do it, He don't want to chase you. You actually are demonstrating you're not worthy of it. I don't mean worthy of being saved. Jesus has made you worthy of being saved. I'm saying worthy of a place, worthy of a reward, worthy of being a part of something. Y'all okay? Abraham is lifted up to us as a father of faith. It's astounding, actually. He lived by faith before anything. There was no law. There were no statutes. There were no gospel. There was no new birth. And he lived and walked by faith. And he learned God's ways by interaction with him personally. And it's recorded in the Bible for all of us. And it works exact. God never changes. The way he was when Abraham knew him, he has not changed at all. Our covenant has changed. God didn't change. And notice this in Genesis 18 and 1. Abram now is an old man and really rich. He's got hundreds of people helping him with everything. So he don't have to punch a clock. He's sitting in his tent door in the heat of the day. And you can be sure, when we say tent, we ain't talking about no pup tent. The man's a billionaire. So he's got a nice place. And he's sitting there enjoying himself. Verse 2. He lifted up his eyes and he saw three men. You know, he kind of startled him. They were already pretty close to him. And when he saw him, he gets up and runs. Now, he's old. How many of you can still run when you're old? Oh, yeah. He runs to meet them from the tent door. Why? Something struck his heart. These are not ordinary people. Something, he'd been walking with God for decades. He ran to meet them and bowed himself toward the ground. He said, "My Lord, if now I have found favor in your sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant." Is he inviting them?
Yes.
He said, "Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree." And he said, "I'll get you something to eat, and you comfort your hearts, and you can rest a while, and after that, you go on, because that's why you came by here, to your servant." And they said, "Do it. Just what you said." Here's a question I want to ask. Would they have stopped if he hadn't done this? Now see, people will try to say, "Oh, this was ordained of God. It was going to happen." Before we get through, you may think differently. I'm going to give you other illustrations. Before they came in and sat down with him, and this is the angel of the Lord, and they had conversations about amazing things, and his future and Sarah's were tied up in this. This is an answer to something they've been believing God all their married life for.
Yes.
And what if he hadn't been hospitable?
Yes.
When he recognized godliness, and what if he had not invited them? They said, "Yeah, that'll be fine. Go ahead and do that." And so, man, he runs and says, "Sarah," and of course, you got to remember, these guys are old and they got hundreds of staff, but they're doing it personally. Oh, yeah, I wasn't there. Personally. This is about honor. This is about valuing the things of God. And he said, because, you know, everybody knew Sarah made the best bread around. She's been doing it for decades. So he wants her to make her bread. And then he runs and gets a young man. He said, "You know, that calf, that veal that I've been saving for the special occasion, go and dress that real quick." And he is coordinating the meal. So they had top notch. And you know, the Lord then begins to talk to him and tells him that they're going to be visited and they're going to have a child. This is the answer to decades. Would it have been the same if they hadn't, if he hadn't invited them in? And then, there's so much here, I don't want to go through everything, or it'll take too long, but the 16th verse, when the men got ready to leave, and they turned and looked towards Sodom. Sodom was a great city, big city. And Abraham did what? Went with them to bring them on their way. It's a godly thing with believers, fellow believers, family of God, especially elders. To when they're leaving, go with them out the door. Go with them to the car. Wave at them as they're driving away. I'm serious. I'm serious. That's what Abram was doing. He was going with them. He's not, he doesn't know where they're going. And he's not just going to go, you know, all night and all day, but he's helping them depart. And he's walking along with them. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? They have a conversation. And Abram has the opportunity to intercede for his family that's facing immediate destruction. What if he hadn't gone with them? Would he have had the same opportunity? Will God push something off on you? Will he force you? Never. Can you miss things if you don't open the door?
Yes.
And if you don't ask him to come in? And if you don't make yourself available? Let's look at some more. In the 24th chapter of Luke, the mouth of two or three witnesses on this. Luke 24. This is after Jesus has been raised from the dead. And he appeared to different ones at different times. The scripture said he appeared to over 500 brethren at once after he was raised from the dead. A lot of people saw it. But he appeared in different forms. Isn't that amazing? Boy, this resurrected body that you and I are about to get, it's capable of things. I know the ladies are like this. You will never be stuck with the same look. You want to change something up a little bit, add a little pizzazz, a little flair. Your resurrected body and the glory that's in it and working can be so amazing that there's people you've known for 1,000 years and you walk in the door and they have to look twice and go, whoa, is that you? You look good. They go, yeah, you look good too. Jesus appeared in different forms. Appearances. We won't have the limitations we have now. I remember a man telling about he died and came back. But in his youth, he was an Olympic level runner. But that was many decades ago, and he had had all kind of issues and hadn't really been able to run for years. And he said he died, and he came up on this road, and he knew it was part of glory. And it was just amazingly beautiful in the fields and everything. And he said, for some reason, he thought, I want to run. And he said he started running. And then he really started running. And then he said he ran as fast as he ever had run. And then he hit another gear and he was running fast than he ever dreamed he could run. And he heard his wife and them praying and calling him back. And he came back in his body, and to his wife's displeasure, the first thing he says, why did you do that? Why did you do that? Saints, we have amazing things to look forward to.
Yes.
Do you believe it?
Yes.
Amazing. We just keep it together just a few more days. Is that right? And we finish this thing up and we're out of here. But you don't want to miss that. Did you find Luke? Jesus appeared to these. Verse 27, let's look at it. Luke 24, 27. Jesus is walking with them, and they know who Jesus is before he died, but they don't recognize him right now. And he's expounding to them all the scriptures concerning himself. Not too long ago, he was hanging on the cross.
Yeah.
And they buried him. Now he's walking down the road with these guys explaining to them how the scriptures were fulfilled. Later it said, they said, man, didn't our hearts burn within us while he was talking to us? I reckon so. The resurrected Jesus is walking down the road with you. Beginning at Moses, the prophets, he did that. Verse 28, they drew near to the village where they were going, and he made as though he would have gone further. Now that's the King James. One translation says, he conducted himself so as to go on further. The New King James says, as when they drew near to the village where they were going, he indicated that he would have gone further. Until what? Read the next verse. Until what? They constrained him. And they said, stay with us. It's almost dark. The day's far spent. Stay with us. So he stayed with them. Would he have gone on if they hadn't asked him? Is this something we need to be more aware of? We're talking about the ways of the Lord. This is his way. You might say, well, I don't like that. I mean, what if it's important and I don't want to miss some big thing? Ain't no need in you getting irritated. If you cared enough about it, you would ask.
You would ask.
I'm going to talk to these folks over here. It's a hard deal.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
If you're so embroiled in other things that you don't care enough to even check or ask, should you be a part of it? Why do you merit being a part of it? With the Lord, it's always about the heart. Always. Man looks on the outward appearance, but he looks at the heart. And you either have a heart for it, or you don't. You either value it, or you don't. You either want to be a part of it, or you don't. And if you don't, he's not going to chase you and make you. And he's just in being that way. So, look in Mark for another one. Mark 6 and 46. Mark 6, 46. Jesus sent the disciples away, and he departed and went to a mountain to pray. When the even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea. He was alone on the land. When he saw them toiling in rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them, about the fourth watch of the night, he comes to them walking upon the sea, and what? Did I read that right or not? He would have what? Passed them by. Really? He would have just walked right on by them in the storm. That's what it says. Now, this is crystal clear. Would have. Right? Would have passed them by. He didn't pass them by. Why? Huh? Look at the next verse. When they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and they cried out. They said something. They all saw him and were troubled, and immediately he talked to them, because they reached out. They cried out. I mean, you know, when Peter stepped out of the boat to walk on the water, if he hadn't said, "Help me, Lord," would it have been the same story? See, people try to assume stuff. Do you remember when Jesus went to the five porches filled with sick folks? And he asked the man, "Would you be healed?" Now, you might think, that is an unnecessary question. Not with the Lord, it's not. He is not going to push himself into your life and take over your process and control you. Right. If you don't want it, you don't have to have it.
Right.
But if you're smart, and I preach to smart people. If you're smart, huh? You will, on a regular basis, you'll do what the Master said. Did you remember in Matthew 7? He said, ask, and it'll be given to you. Seek, and you'll find. Well, will you find the same thing if you don't seek? No. Will you get the same thing if you don't ask? No. You know, we've quoted the scripture a lot of times in James 4. You have not because you ask not. And can maybe have kind of limited that, but it's just a few verses later where we saw earlier in the week where he said, you know, don't say, we're going to go here, we're going to do this for a year. It's in the same chapter, just a few verses later. You ought to say, if the Lord will. What was wrong with them making those statements? They didn't ask. They didn't ask the Lord about the whole thing. They just made their plans and they just did their deal. Look at your neighbor. Help them out. Say, ask.
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 Ask. Make yourself available. Say, Lord, I'm here. I'm ready. You know, the prodigal son. Why didn't the father go after him? Did he ever quit loving him?
No.
No. Did he ever write him off as a hopeless case? No. The father represents the father. Why didn't he go after him? Because the thing that caused him to leave had not changed. And until it changed, there's no need talking. Y'all hear this or not? Huh? Why did he leave to begin with? But when did his life turn around? Huh? And he did what? He came. Oh, come on. Can you see this? He came to the Father. He initiates. He says, I missed it. I messed up bad and I don't deserve to be your son, but if I could just have a job and work for you. And he gets full reception, full restoration. Hallelujah. And you can tell, you know, when the father saw him coming, he did run out to meet him because it has changed and he can talk to him now. But until it changed. And I know. I've crossed the lines before trying to get people to do something because I knew how much they needed to do it,
yeah.
How their life depended on it.
That's good.
Yeah. But it's wrong to do it.
Yeah.
Amen.
Not only that, it doesn't work.
Hello.
I said it doesn't work.
Hello.
You just frustrate yourself. And you can plead and beg and reason with the best of them. It won't fix a heart issue.
That's good. Oh my.
Amen. Won't fix it. Now they can change their heart at any time. I know the Lord dealt with me. I mentioned earlier about submission. Not long after I was in the ministry, submission, humility, those things, and we actually had the privilege of teaching them in Rhema, and it's a big part of some things with us. And I thought it was a different area from faith. But the Lord pointed out to me, no, that is faith. That is faith. They're connected. They're connected. It takes faith to submit. And here's the thing many have not understood. Godly submission has nothing to do with anybody making you do anything. That's what we're talking about tonight. Now, when every place you look, he says, submit yourself. What's the understood subject there? Help me out. You. Who's going to do it? What if you don't do it? It won't be done. You younger, submit yourself to the elder. Here in a few minutes, we're going to receive some folks that say they want to submit themselves to our leadership. That's not something we asked them to do. That's not something anybody's making them to do. If it were, you shouldn't do it. That's not God's way. And we're not requiring anything. But if you give, if you're connected to especially elders or whatever, and you give that place, God will give them things. He will help you through them. If you've given it place. If you haven't opened the door, then there's no opportunity. And I know Phyllis and I had the privilege of working with the Hagins and Rhema for about 20 years. And after the first 15 years, we kept getting in our heart that we were supposed to develop our own ministry more. And didn't pray about it lightly, but over a period of time. And so I went and talked with Brother Hagin about it. And I wanted to hear what he had to say, what he thought. And his first words were, well, you're not getting any younger. If you're going to do something, you better get to it. I was teaching in the school and doing other things. And so we gave notice, and over a period of time, we finished up our duties there. And so we had some little offices, and I'm traveling full time. I thought, well, that was a chapter of our life, and now we're going to the next thing here. I was at some place praying about the next service, and the Spirit of God spoke to my heart. He said, I never released you from helping Brother Hagin. Man, I sat up. I thought, what? Did I miss it by leaving? And I knew in my heart, no, that I didn't miss it by leaving. Well, then how does that work? Because when we first got to Rhema, I hadn't been there 3 months. And he was teaching in the healing school, in the prayer school, and I'm sitting there on the front row just eating it up. And the Spirit of God spoke to me definitely. He said, help Brother Hagin. And for the next 20 years, that was our directive. You might say, well, how did it work? I didn't know how it would work, because I looked around and he didn't know me, and I'd never even shook his hand, and he had plenty of great people helping him, so how would that be? But are you listening to me or not? We made ourselves available to the Lord. We said, Lord, here we are. And so they said, well, we need people to set up the chairs in the for the healing school. And what I heard was, Brother Hagin needs help.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
He don't have to know me personally. I volunteered, and we set up the chairs, and we took the chairs down, and then they said, we need people to stay and talk to folks about being saved and about being filled with the Spirit. I heard. Yeah. Brother Hagin needs help. Come, you see what I'm saying? This went on for some time, for months, and then they said, we want a couple of students to start helping in the healing center. And I thought, man, that would just be the most amazing thing ever. And I looked around, there were hundreds of people in the room, and I thought, well, they probably all want to do it. But we were one of the ones that got picked to start. And one thing led to another. They said, well, we need help in the school. I kept hearing, Brother Hagin needs help. Brother Hagin needs help. Brother Hagin needs help. But when we left, and the Lord said, I didn't release you from helping Brother Hagin. And I told Phyllis, and we said, well, what do we do? And so we knew they were in Florida doing a meeting. And so we went there and didn't want to bother them, but said, you know, if it's convenient, is there a time that we could talk to you a minute? And they, of course, they'd known us for 15 years. And we said, can we help you? Now, they had all kind of wonderful help. And you got to watch about your head, don't you? Can we help you? And Phyllis said to Mom, you know, can I help you some way? Can I help with the clothes? Can I help with the packing, the unpacking? Can I help? And they said, well, let us take it before the Lord and pray about it. We said, fine, okay. Well, they came back and said, yeah, you can help. So we did. We paid our way to the meetings. And of course, during that time, if you're doing that, you're not doing your own. But the Lord brought in extra. And we packed and unpacked and drove the car, carried the briefcase, whatever the case was. And he had us sing and he had us do some things. And man, those next 5 years, we got to do some things personally with them. Called one morning and said, what you doing? I said, well, what you need? And they said, let's go so-and-so. And we drove all over the country and half states, and they showed us things where they grew up. And just some wonderful times. And Phyllis and Mom, you know, they're shopping. And me and Dad would find the most comfortable chairs in the nicest, you know, some of these nice ladies shop, they got some nice chairs. And so we sit there. And we would solve the problems of the world. Why am I saying this? Not to draw attention to us. That would not have happened if we hadn't gone to them. Oh, come on, y'all listening. They didn't pursue us. We went to them and said, we're available. If you use us, you don't, little bit, whatever, we're here. And we're available. And man, one thing led to another. And it was some of the richest years of our life. Now that doesn't mean that you can say, hey, you know, I'm going to be your buddy all the time. And I'm going to move in with you. No. We're talking about things the Lord does, right? And so many times if somebody's talking things like that, it's because they want something. And you hear people say, I want their anointing. What kind of spirit is that? Huh? I'm going to get this and I'm going to get that. That's carnality talking. So submission is not somebody making us do something. It is us submitting ourselves. Can you see this? Presenting ourselves, making ourselves available. And when we started getting to do more things with them and be around them more, Phyllis and I got on the floor at one point because we saw this and we said, you know, Brother Hagin's a prophet. He'll pick up on things. And you and I can't be fussing. We can't be fighting. Now you're laughing, but that's who wants to be around that, right? And if they're in a meeting and he's endeavoring to hear from God. We don't need to walk in the room and there's this stench of strife. Come on, are y'all listening? And them have to turn around and go, what is that? Huh? And so we got down in the floor and we said, Lord, help us. We're not going to do that. And the Lord gave us these things. He said, you are here to help. You are here to learn. You are not here to judge. Huh? Somebody say, help. Learn. Not judge. Period. And hallelujah. Well, where's our folks that are ready? Would you come on up and let's get ready to lay hands on these that have already prepared themselves. And I want to read another scripture before we do this, but come ahead, everybody, and get ready. Thank you, Lord. Why don't y'all go ahead and stand in the congregation as well and move around a little bit. Go ahead, play softly, guys.